Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John chapter 13, verses 33 through 36. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also are you to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep? Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Christ is risen.
Again
to the night of our Lord's betrayal today. We said on Tuesday that we're hearing these Holy Thursday passages now because we want to hear them in the light of the resurrection. Well, what Jesus says today is especially in light of his crucifixion. That death and 3 days spent in the tomb were not something to be skipped like Peter once thought. The cross is Christ's pivotal hour when he draws all men to himself. After his resurrection, then, his crucifixion cannot fade into the past as 3 unfortunate days not worth dwelling on anymore. No, the risen Lord is the crucified one, as the angels announced that morning. And so our churches proudly, quite defiantly, portray him as the crucified. So also St. Paul reminded the Galatians in their foolishness how Christ had once been publicly portrayed before them as the crucified. Jesus says, "You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Where did he say that to the Jews? Back in John chapter 8, when the Jews had begun to contend with Jesus even more sharply. There he said, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." And so the Jews said to him, "Will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come?" See that the Jews who were contending with Jesus really did understand something. They saw more easily than we and Peter do, perhaps, that the little while, that the hour, and that the going that Jesus has to do means his death. Now they mock him as if Jesus were meaning to kill himself, that he were going to be Beelzebul, returning himself to the place of demons. But at least they see that where they cannot go, that's where Jesus has to go, and that is to death. They do not understand, of course, that he goes as it is written of him. They do not understand that to believe in Jesus is to uphold the law, because all of the scriptures testify of him. They do not understand that he goes for them. And they do not believe, so they cannot embrace the cross as the Christian church does. They do not see what sacrifice and mercy could have to do with one another. They are the ones who desire to offer many sacrifices without any mercy, and therefore are unwilling to find in Jesus' death that one sacrifice that bestows mercy on all and which frees slaves from their sins. It's only a matter of course, then, that of course they refuse to believe his resurrection also, which they will not have any share in. Now, it is different with Jesus' disciples. We're zooming in today on St. Simon Peter, only as the first among his brothers, as always. He seeks Jesus not as some oddity, not as some threat, but as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he believes, and despite himself, he seeks help for his unbelief. Peter's offended to hear that where Jesus is going, Peter's not allowed to go. How could that ever be for Peter? He's like many in our day who are not happy anymore with the term catechumen or hearer of God's word or disciple or especially Christian. They want instead to call themselves followers of Jesus. Well, how about this? Where Jesus is going, neither his enemies nor his followers can come. Well, that's a puzzle. But it is a puzzle that helps us understand the other puzzle in today's passage. Why the Lord's commandment to love one another, which our Lord says so plainly, is what all of the law and the prophets are summed up in, here he calls a new commandment. Well, if anyone would follow Jesus, they must deny not his name, not his tutelage or his word, but they have to deny themselves, even before they would go and take up their cross and, yes, follow after him. The call to learn why God desires mercy and not sacrifice is the call to set aside the false opinion of the law for our righteousness, a love for righteousness, and to begin with him, the I am. For he is the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment of all righteousness. He is merciful and abounding in steadfast love. He is the Lord. So let us not get lost in our similarity to our Lord. Our love is not his love. It is a matchless love, as we just sang, that he has. Our love is like his love. And above all, it is after and it is from his love, absolutely. Truly, we love because he first loved us. Where he first went, we do not follow. His cross is unique. His sacrifice is the only one that we call atoning, mediating, sufficient. As we heard Sunday, the Spirit convinces and convicts the whole world of righteousness, and that means convicting us of him, going to his Father when his disciples see him no more, going as the unique and the saving and the fully pleasing sacrifice to his Father. He goes as the God who did not grasp at that equality with his Father, but who humbled himself. He goes as the one who knew no sin and yet became sin for us. And that's something that no Jew could offer in the temple, of course, which Peter could not offer or match or participate in, except that is on the receiving end, participating in all of his benefits. Truly, he did not follow Jesus there, except to follow as one whose faith, though sifted in Satan's sieve, was nevertheless preserved by the prayer of his Lord Jesus. And that is why it is the same with us, and why we keep the cross above all other images before us at all times, even in the light of the resurrection. But yes, just as he says to Peter, we will follow afterward. So St. Peter's epistle, you should read it, is full of calls to see Christ's humility, to observe his great patience, to take his sacrifice and his love and his mercy as our example, even as it is filled with so many blessings and promises of the gracious salvation that he's won for us that are so certain on account of his blood poured forth and the word of truth that is given to faith. God's love and mercy are his saving and atoning sacrifice, according to the Scriptures. Our love and mercy are, as St. Paul also writes, living sacrifices, patterned after our Father's mercy and our elder brother's example. We are those who share his love. That's why we're also those who share his cross. But so, hereafter, we will share in a resurrection like his also. In the name of the Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.